Crime Hive.
You're listening to Crime Hive, and this is another true crime story of how they were caught. Now, this story takes place in West Virginia, March of 2005. In a smaller city, there was a man named Ed Doc Whitley. They called him Doc because he was the only doctor in town. He was wheelchair bound, and his house caught fire. And because he was in a wheelchair, being 70 years old, he was upstairs and unable to escape. So he had a horrific death. 90% of his body was burned, and he was found dead. And there was some sign that maybe arson was involved and that this was not an accident. So investigators came out. They determined that there are two points of origin with this fire. So two areas where the fire had started. So the first fire, they determined, was upstairs in the bedroom where Doc died. And then the other was on a couch downstairs. So there was a couch that was burning, and then upstairs in his bedroom, there was a huge hole in the floor from that fire. And fire investigators would collect fire samples and seal them up in a paint can. Forensic chemists determined that there was a substance called toluene, which is a flammable, ignitable liquid. It's found in things such as charcoal lighters. It's found in a lot of different things. It's found in new shoes. That smell that you smell when you get a new pair of shoes, that is also toluene. And so investigators start looking at those closest to Doc, and they learned that a woman named Kathy Lively, she was a nurse that was working with Doc. And apparently these two fought often, and she said she wanted to kill him. And the next day he was found dead when people had overheard this argument. Now, her son Jason apparently went to the victim's second house to tell the victim's wife about this fire and that he had died, but apparently also stole a laptop. And because of that, police start looking into Jason. And they start coming up with this theory that because Jason's mom is arguing with Doc, she works in this pharmacy, she has her prescription pad. They're thinking maybe Jason is using this prescription pad for illegal drugs, and that Doc may fire the nurse, and then he'll no longer have this business with his illegal drugs. And then the fact that he stole and actually sold this laptop for money, it puts Jason on their radar right away. Now, they didn't really have a lot of credible evidence other than this theft, but nothing really related to the fire. Now, a witness comes forward, a friend to Jason, and his name is Brian Solliers. He said that Jason and another man named Tommy Owens had been picked up and dropped off near the victim's home. So that puts two people at the scene of the crime or around the scene of the crime, according to this witness. And just based on that evidence and the stolen laptop, they didn't really have evidence that those two were responsible for this crime, but they made the arrest anyway. And both of them were arrested for first degree murder, and they would be tried separately in 2006. Jason ended up getting life in prison, even though the witness who said he had picked them up and dropped them off near the crime scene later said he made up the story under pressure from police. And so now you don't have a credible witness, but they still convicted Jason. What's odd is the other guy involved, Tommy, was found acquitted, meaning he did not have to serve any time. He was let go and he was a free man. Even though police believe that two people most likely started this fire because of the two points of origin. But there were people who believed that Jason did not commit this crime and that this was most likely an accidental fire from electrical sources. There was some study or some evidence that actually was not really brought up in court that suggested that the fire was possibly accidental. And so they look at the fire again, and they start looking into the possibility of this electrical fire. They start with the hole in the upstairs bedroom, and it had a lot of damage at the bottom of the hole, okay, like the subfloor, but there wasn't a lot of damage on the top of the hole. Now, if an accelerant was used, there would be more damage at the top and not the bottom. So now there's a working theory that maybe there was a faulty wire, which they did discover. And then they started believing that the embers from that fire actually went down below and started the couch on fire for the second origin. So this wasn't arson. There was no crime with this fire, and it was looking more and more like an accident. But the prosecution wouldn't listen at first. And Jason was still in prison. You know, 11 years goes by, 12 years, 13 years. Finally, in 2017, the West Virginia Innocence Project took this case on. And the prosecution even begins to help the defense with this new analysis. And they bring in third-party forensics to come and test this theory. They test the toluene again. And they actually determine that the toluene was pure. They all have these unique signatures, you know, because of the chemicals in them. And they were able to isolate these chemicals and actually determined the toluene came from the fire itself when burning the wooden floor. And it didn't come from any other source. And so with this new evidence, Jason was finally released from prison in September of 2020. He's about 14 years in his sentence. And he was finally released, and he would go on to live a new life. But that was how he was caught and then later released with the help of forensic science. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Follow me on social media at Crime Hive, and I'll see you all again next week. Take care. Crime Hive.